this week looking at the Apostle Paul and how God had just orchestrated his whole life to work in for his purpose in what Paul did. So his education, his heritage, his background all led to the point of him being an effective worker for God in the mission field that God directed him. And so I want you to think about you and how God has placed you, how God has worked in your life, your experiences, your personality that you have, your education, your spiritual gifts, basically your shape, how God has shaped you and how God is going to use you in his kingdom. And so have a think about that. We're talking about sending and supporting and preparing people for service. And we've got a guest speaker here, John Sharp, who's from a little village, just a few k's in Plumpton, actually. It's just Plumpton. Yeah, so he knows us very well, but he's been a missionary overseas, and he works with Crossview. And this is an organization that really wants to enable, encourage, and support, train, and equip people for missionary service. And so he works with churches, and he works with people as well in that training. So he's got a real heart for unreached people groups in the world. And so we'll be hearing a little bit from John later on about sending and supporting missionaries. I don't know if your small group has got into this Acts series yet, our mission series, but our small group has really been enjoying getting into God's Word, interacting, sharing, praying for our missionaries. And so if you haven't got there yet, get started and get stuck in there. Encourage your group leader to be a part of that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come together this morning, worship you, lift your name up, glorify your name, honor you and praise you. Lord, I just pray that as we look at this topic of sending and encouraging and supporting people for ministry, for service, for missions, I just pray that you might do a work in our hearts, that you might prepare our hearts to see what is our role in that and where we fit into your big picture. And so, Lord, I thank you for John, and I thank you for Simon and Lucinda, who are going to share a bit later. I just pray that you might use them in mighty ways, and I thank you for the way you've used them in the past. And so I commit this morning to you that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Rightio, John. Here's John Sharp, and he's going to share about Crossview and some of his work.
Thank you, Steve. Well, my understanding is that I'm talking about mobilising and supporting overseas gospel workers this morning. So I thought a great passage of scripture to bounce off would be Philippians 1, 3 to 14. And it goes like this, and I think it's the ESV I've got. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. For it is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And then verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That's a tremendous little passage of scripture. There's so much in it, but two things that really stand out to me are the depth of the relationship that Paul had with the Philippian church and that love. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. And I'm sure the Philippians had Paul in their hearts as well. And the other thing is that his ministry, despite the persecution that he was going through, was infectious. It just rubbed off on all these others. So now they too were speaking boldly of Christ, despite the threat of persecution. And I think when we start to get excited about the gospel going out, it can be a little bit like corona and spread. Anyway, I've got four questions that people have asked me that I think relates to this. The first one is, what's it mean for a church to send missionaries? Well, I think it always starts with the church having a passion for Christ, understanding the absolute privilege and wonder that it is to know him, to be part of God's family, to be saved, redeemed, to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, and to have this amazing hope that when this age finishes, we know we're going to be part of that new heaven and that new earth. And you know, it was that confidence and that hope that saw people go to crosses and fed to lions and covered with pitch and set alight, singing hymns as they died, because they knew that this wasn't the end. That's how confident they were of the hope that they have. I think a church that is alive for missions gets these truths really, really well. With a church that understands the grace and the power and the love of God to get us through this time that we're in now with all its messiness. Life's messy, isn't it? And it's messy for believers too. But how resilient are we in the midst of all that? Why can we be resilient? Because we have an eternal hope. But there's many on this planet with no hope. They don't have that hope. It's taking seriously the command of Christ to be a light to this world, a light to the people across the road, to the people next door, and to the people across the globe. And taking very seriously the command that given to his church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I think it's understanding something of the neediness of this world, the brokenness of it, and that people are without hope, that people are in terrible, terrible situations in the world, and we can do something about it, and through that communicate the love of God for them and win that right to share the message of hope with them. And of course, it's understanding too as a church that there are many people on the globe with no access to the gospel for many and varied reasons. But and then thinking to ourselves as a church body, is there someone we can send? Is there someone in our fellowship who has the maturity, is doing here well what we want them to do over there. And the church seriously thinking about that. The second question is, what's the best way for the church to be involved with the missionaries they support? Sometimes we don't have a lot of involvement with the missionary support. Maybe we send $50 off to Joe Bloggs and his family and we never see them, might see them once in 5 years, and we don't know a lot about them. And I think that's the way missions has sort of gone. And if you support someone like Joe Bloggs and you never see them, don't stop supporting them, because I'm sure their ministry depends on a lot of little churches doing that. But I think it's great for a church to have a strategy that within the fellowship, you are going to raise up missionaries and you are going to be right behind them. And you get, they're going to be people that you send out that you're confident of, that you know well, that you know their maturity, their love for Christ, their faith. You see that they're relational people. You see that they're competent ministers of the gospel. They're the sort of people you'd love to have in leadership in your own fellowship. And yet, you say, we realise our responsibility is out there as well as here. And let's send them. And for us, we would have been the Joe Bloggs model. We went to a little Baptist church after we got married. We were there for a year. And during that year, we were challenged to missions. So we went off to new tribes and we trained there for 3 years. The idea was after a few months, well, after finishing our training, we'd come back, spend a few months there and then head off. God had other plans. It took us 2 years to get a visa. And during that 2 years, we spent that 2 years embedded in our home church. And I became an elder and then I became an associate pastor. We ministered in that church. They got to know us as a family. They got to love us with our two little twin girls. And then at 27, and my wife, 25, and with our 2 3-year-old twins, off we went to Indonesia. And that church just stood with us in an amazing way. I think Crossview now has sort of moved from that model of training people away, and we want to leave them in their churches. And we do that so that the church has a big part in the formation and the training of new prospective missionaries. Third question, what is support if it's not just sending money? Well, I think the easiest answer for this is that you treat the people you send out like they're part of your family. Our son Matthew, our youngest, is married with two little boys. In December last year, they went to Auckland, where he's now associate pastor at a Baptist church over there. And my wife and I, we pray for them every night. And we would do anything to help them. You know, sometimes I whinge and I moan. We'll get an email and, Dad, can you do this? Can you sell the car for me? Oh, Dad, can you deliver this? You know, can you take care of all this paperwork for us? Can you pay this bill? and I say to my wife, what's he want now? But deep down, I really love doing it. And there's nothing I wouldn't do for him. And I think as a church, that's the sort of attitude you have when you send people out. How can we help them? What can we do for them? That's the sort of attitude our church had. This church up in Brisbane, this Baptist church. And an example of that would be I sent an order back for asking someone in the church to get us some parts for a chainsaw. And they went to the chainsaw place. The guy said, oh, it sounds like they need a new chainsaw. And so the guy said, oh, well, leave it. Went back to the church. John and Betty Sharp need a new chainsaw. In came the money. And then how were they going to get it to us? Well, this guy says, well, I better take it over. And it didn't fit inside his suitcase, so he carried it on the plane. Can you imagine carrying a chainsaw on a plane nowadays? You wouldn't get past the front door of the airport. They'd have 40 security guys jump on you. So this guy brought it in, stayed with us for 2 weeks, and And it changed his life. You know, he went through massive culture shock, and I think part of that may have been that at that time we had this guy who had hacked someone to death in while they were asleep with a machete, and he was roaming around the place, and this poor guy from our church was a bit nervous about that. But he came back to Australia and he was a different man, and he got so involved in missions as a result of that trip. And, you know, I think of Simon and Lucinda and little Hazel and Jemima, and treating them like they're your kids, treating them like they're your cousins or your part of your family. And we will do anything to make sure we look after them. That relationship that Paul had, where the church had him in their hearts and he had them in their hearts. Last question, how do we develop a culture of supporting global missions, resulting in more gospel workers going out from our own church? And I think a lot of it starts with the leadership of the church being very determined that there's going to be a culture of missions in the church, that it's going to be part of the DNA of the church. Little kids at Sunday school are going to hear about missions. They're going to hear stories of missionaries, and they're going to hear about Paul and his missionary journeys. And this is the heart of God. This is where you started this series. What's on God's heart, his heart for the world. Your kids in your youth group are going to have missionaries, get good ones that have exciting stories. You don't want them bored. And then your young adults, everyone is going to be fed a diet of mission. And it's not just going to be about out there, it's going to be about reaching the people across the road. The church's DNA is going to be evangelism, and that will then extend out beyond that. You're going to be a praying church. You know, as I said, we pray for our son in New Zealand and his family every night, Betty and I pray. And we pray for the likes of Simon and Lucinda and the girls. And we pray for other families that have gone out. For Jason and Jenny Minnis that spoke here, we often pray for them. Pray, pray, pray. That's the most important thing a church can do for those that they send out. And remain aware of what they're doing. I think for the leadership of the church to go and to remain connected with that work, to have input into that work, even though there'll be aspects of it that the church might not understand because it's in a different place, different culture. But the church leadership still has authority over someone that you've sent out from this church. Your elders are over them and will make decisions alongside them in fellowship with their field leaders and the organisation that they're working with. But stay involved. It all comes back to equipping the saints for work of ministry. That's what the job of the leadership of the church is, to equip you to be effective here and to equip and raise up people who can go. And I think that's an exciting task. I think that's a wonderful vision for the church, to be raising up people and then when they go, loving them to bits. Loving them with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, that letting the love of Christ flow through you. And so when they're out there, they know that Kings Park Church, Community Church, is standing with them, is right with them. And it's not just you that'll be with them, because Jesus said that when they go, behold, I am with you even unto the end of the age. So they don't go alone. They don't go because you're with them. The Lord is with them too. And they feel that love, that support, that encouragement. That's the job that's before us as churches here, as we send people out. Hold them in your heart, just as the Philippian church held Paul in their heart.